It's a tradition as old as the game itself.
And that's why I like the Dayton Triangles, plus the 5.5 straight up over Canton.
Picking the right side is not child's play.
Doesn't take a genius to realize that Houston's failed to cover their last 10 outings on away turf the week after scoring more than 3 touchdowns in a conference game.
Ooh, my little girl says the cutest thing.
You need a little help.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
That's where he comes in.
This is my stone cold lock of the century.
Or week.
It's the Program Picks with Fat Jack.
Let's do this. Time for our Program Picks, brought to you by our good friend Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. Great spot for you to go if you need an edge on the games. Go to FatJackSports.com. Petro, Siebold, Marshall, Peter Yatinik joins us here in the program. You can grab a line right now if you want to play Stump the Chumps. That's coming up in our next segment. We'll give you a chance to win great Cajun food from Jazz if you want to secure your spot. We're going to have to move quickly today. Grab it right now, 913-3810-810, the phone number. Pete, how are you, my friend?
Doing fine, sir. How about you?
No complaints.
So we were just talking about, I saw those Golden Exterminators, or whatever they call App State last night. Man, I'll tell you, Blair will be a happy man. They looked really, you know, that's a good squad. I mean, that's not an overstatement. But, I mean, man, they beat Michigan, and they play. They're built
by a good coach.
Yeah, they really are. And you'd know better than anybody. Has anybody offered him huge money to leave?
Well, I mean, Drinkwitz came there a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So, I was referring to.
Yeah, I forgot he was there. That's right.
It's made it through a couple of coaches. Okay. You know, I mean, so it's clearly that's a program, athletic director that knows what he's doing because he keeps reloading the coach and getting it done. So
I'll tell you, it was a good ball game.
What was the shot at Michigan, Pete? What's that all about?
I don't know.
It just felt like taking it out on me. I see there's being
not?
A good sport.
Why not?
Well, no, I don't need to talk about the Big Ten after Iowa stunk up the entire universe last week.
Two weeks
ago.
They did lose to another Big Ten team, I will point out.
Well, yeah, but Purdue's never really been their nemesis. It's always been Ohio State. And Purdue,
it's disappointing to lose to Purdue when you're number two in the country? I would agree.
Yes, it is.
At home.
Yes, and especially get your ass kicked.
Yeah,
I mean, this wasn't a close ball game. It was over.
Let's bring in the expert, Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com, joins us here in the program. Fat Jack, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, actually, having a really, really good run, especially in the NFL. We actually are 13-2 in Major League Baseball playoffs since they started the Major League Baseball playoffs, including 2-0 yesterday. I had both winners yesterday, Houston and Atlanta. And we had App State last night. Everybody got that. So all of those games are posted and documented at FatJackSports.com. I moved into the top six of the Circa Million contest. Say 50-some-odd spots. I'm 23-6-1 is my record. So moved in. I'm tied for ninth, but actually one half game out of fourth place. So very excited about that. Everybody's winning. NBA has started up. Go to FatJackSports.com. When we have a bad week, we'll talk about it. Right now, everything is rolling along, and we are making money. So great time to get signed up.
All right, let's get some picks here. We always take the local teams and the best TV game to add to the equation. Mizzou is off, so we're going to have three locals and two TV games. Texas Tech is a one-point favorite at home against K-State. The Jayhawks are catching 38.5. In Lawrence, always a great game when you can get a 5+ touchdown spread on it. Chiefs are laying 5.5 at the Titans. Is that right? I thought that would back up. Is that at 5.5? Okay. Oklahoma State at Iowa State. The Cyclones, 7-point favorites against the undefeated and top 10 Oklahoma State Cowboys. And the Baltimore Ravens are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, the revitalized Cincinnati Bengals, who sit at 4-2. Let's get things started. I think it's my turn to go first. K-State getting a point at Tech. I don't like that Chris Klieman is asking the media to be positive about the team. That scares me. Like, he's seeing some real bad things and feeling like he needs help when he asks for the media. I think it was more, though, just a guy who doesn't, you know, head coaches don't really get it. They're not out in general population. And I think this is the first time he's exposed to Power 5 media coverage versus the perennial champion of 1AA. So I'm going to chalk it up as a misstep. I love getting Chris Klieman in points. Give me the K-State Wildcats plus the one against the Texas Tech team that I think was playing over its head earlier this year. Jed?
I'm also on the Wildcats. I think that, as you said, Chris Klieman had a misstep with his statements that he made earlier this week. I think that K-State has better talent. I think they're going to feed Deuce Vaughn. Ema.
You're going to go Ema. So, Cats for Jed. Curtis?
I said last week that I can't figure out K-State. I picked them, then they did not cover, not even close. I'm not getting a good vibe from this team right now, which means I'll probably win by 17, but I'm still on Tech.
All right, Tech for Curtis. That's fine. I don't need Curtis on my side. Get the hell away from me. Even though you, amongst us, have the best record so far. But this is how we bring you down.
That's not sustainable.
This is how we bring you down. Curtis, 3 over .500 at 19-16 on the year. Pete, where do you go?
K-State's not playing really like I thought they would 3 games ago. And Texas Tech, I mean, this is big. Obviously, this is a pick 'em. And I'm just going to take the home team in this case. I don't think Texas Tech, I thought they stunk out loud earlier in the year. And you know what? They really, I don't think they're that bad of a squad.
Okay.
So I'm going to take them at home with the one, or the, you know, minus the one. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Tech for Pete. So we got 2 on Tech, 2 on K-State. By the way, Fat Jack, are you coming to us from Barcelona? Or we've had London and Paris the last 2 weeks. Where are you coming to us from today?
I'm in my office in Oklahoma City. I'll be in Vegas tomorrow for a big weekend and the World Series of Poker. So you're actually getting me in Middle America this time. Same time zone. And the same time zone this game's going to take place.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Texas Tech has been really bad against really good teams, and they've been really good against really bad teams. K-State's really the first time they played a middle-of-the-road type team. It's not great or bad. The one type of team Kansas State is not going to beat are teams that hold you to under 100 yards, 120 yards rushing. They need to run the ball, and they're 2-7 against the spread when they play teams that hold teams to under 120 yards rushing, i.e. Iowa State, who holds you to 90 a game. But this is not that type of animal. Texas Tech will give up some rushing yards. They should be able to stay ahead of the chain. But I'm going to lean toward Tech here. I think it's a really difficult game to pick, but just to lean toward Tech because they're at home, I think these two teams are very evenly matched.
Okay, so a lean to Tech. Evenly matched opponents. We'll make a note of that. All right, Jed, you're first up on this. OU laying 38.5 against your beloved Kansas Jayhawks. Who you got?
So I don't like this game very much. I have KU written down. I'm going to go with KU in spite of the fact that I think OU needs style points and we'll put it on, but 38.5 is too many for me. Give me the Rock Chalks.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk. We're going to rock chalk it up. The Jayhawks down only 35.
I'm hoping for that field goal to get the backdoor cover.
Jed is a happy man. 41-6, Oklahoma leaves a loser. Curtis, where are you?
Normally I'd be all over a Power 5 team getting almost 40 at home, but I can't take a team that hadn't covered yet. Sinners.
OU. Peter?
28-0 before the national anthem. And the way I see it here, you know what? I'm going to take KU again because I've been losing with them all year. They do backdoors pretty nice. So I'm going to look for two covers near the end of the game when God knows the fifth string quarterback will be in there.
Boomer. I can't. This is one that even when the Sooners try to be merciful, I think they're finding themselves. I think they're getting on a roll. I think even if they want to be nice, I don't think they can. In this one, I will take Oklahoma minus the 38.5. Remember back in the day, this would have been 66.
No, right. Yeah.
You know, 38.5. The games are shorter now because of the clock starting on out of bounds and different things like that. But I still think this is one that gets out of hand early.
KU was KU was a 68 to Nebraska one time and didn't cover.
And didn't cover. Yeah, there you go. Fat Jack, what do you got on this one? We're split again, 2-2 between OU and KU.
Yeah, the problem is that when Oklahoma goes to their backup quarterback, you're getting the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy last year. So I do believe there's been a little bit of that talk behind closed doors that if Spencer Rattler stays with the program that he will get not only some minutes, but they will not close down the playbook. They'll let him throw it. They'll let him showcase his talent, those type of things. So unless that changes, I think you got a problem there. The OU defense is not very good. Kansas has covered 4 of the last 5 in this series at home. So the OU, this type of number is what they do walk in the back door. But, I mean, I can't play Kansas until they look at least halfway decent the second half. It's hard to get through the back door if you're not walking and you're rolling in their stairs. So I think they're going to probably struggle again, and I'll take OU minus the points.
All right, we're down to the Chiefies. Chiefies are laying 5.5. Does that line sound right to you, Fat Jack?
Yep.
Let me look. Okay, yep. It is. Okay, 5.5.
It was 6, it moved down to 5.5.
Okay, Chiefs minus 5.5. Although I still see a different one, but anyway. Okay, Chiefs minus 5.5. We start with Jed. Jed, what do you got?
I'm actually on the Titans. I think
we'll go ahead and start with you. I was supposed to start with Pete. But
either way, I'm still on the Titans. Okay. I think that they're going to run the ball, control the clock. I think it'll be a close game. I actually picked the Chiefs to win, but I like the Titans to cover.
Curtis?
Derrick Henry's going to get his 120. The question is whether that 120 turns into 320 in play-action passing from Tannehill. I think the changes in the Chiefs defense came just in time. I'll lean to the Chiefs here.
Okay, Peter?
I'm going to lean to the Chiefs. Derrick Henry's going to get 230, but only 2 touchdowns, and that's going to be the only 2 TDs they have. Chiefs, they need this one.
They want it more.
All right, I am, first of all, I'm 2-4 on the Chiefs. I've picked the Chiefs 6 times. The Chiefs are 2-4 against the spread. That means they have won the last 2. And so I do tend to think that they are getting it rolling, but so does everybody else. And, you know, I do worry that they're not going to stay with Nick Bolton. I think they need Nick Bolton, Willie Gay on the field, fast guys that come and deliver a blow. And that's not Ben Neiman, who's a fine player when used in limited spurts. It's not Anthony Hitchens now or maybe ever in his career, and certainly not with a banged-up tricep that kept him out of practice yesterday. I do worry that I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but there's also a big bandwagon getting excited about Tennessee because they beat the Buffalo Bills. They also lost to the New York Jets. I think the Chiefs get in front, play from in front, limit how much Henry can hurt them, and the Chiefs get it done. Give me the Chiefs. 3 of us on the Chiefs, 1 on the Titans. Who you got, Fat Jack?
Yeah, I think this is the type of spot where you can make a case for either one. If Henry runs the ball like he did Monday night, then they're going to probably win, but keep in mind, guys, that when the Chiefs don't turn the ball over as much, and sometimes even when they do, they're getting it done, not only straight up but against the number. And Kansas City's on a 31-6 against the spread run as a road favorite. So when this team goes on the road, they typically not only win, they outperform the market. I like Kansas, and the Sharps bet this thing up. It opened at 3.5 off, you know, some books got bet up to 6. Now it's been moving back by the general public back down to 5 in a lot of spots. I think you may get 4.5 before kickoff, but I actually like the Chiefs here big. I think they win going away.
All right. Up next, the Oklahoma State Cowboys are paying a visit to Ames, Iowa. Unranked is laying 7 at home against ranked. Now, back in the day, getting a ranked team, especially in college basketball, there was a great trend. An unranked team favored at home against a ranked team, which generally was unranked, who was probably 27 or 28, going up against ranked, who was like 20, 21. Right, and so they were really comparable teams, and you were getting the home court on 2 teams that were pretty much even. I do believe there's something to that. I think Iowa State has been penalized for their, Iowa State-ness. That's kind of what they do early on in games. But I still think this is a really quality football team, and I think Oklahoma State has benefited and by good play, and Mike Gundy usually exceeds the expectations, but somewhat schedule-driven as well. I think these are 2 teams that had they met preseason, this is exactly the spread that would have been there, and I think that means that the odds makers think that they've got it right, that Iowa State is still definitively the better team. It's at 7. It's not at 5.5. It's not at 6.5, so you're not going to tease down Iowa State into getting points. You're not going to tease down Iowa State to just needing to win the game. That, to me, shows some confidence in the Cyclones. I will do the same. Give me Iowa State minus the 7. Jed?
I don't like this game at all either. I really don't like any of the games that we ever play. My record reflects that. But I'm actually on Oklahoma State. I think undefeated teams die hard. Give me the mullet.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one. That is the one part that I didn't factor into the equation. Curtis?
That's the only reason, because I agree with everything you just said, but I'm still taking Oklahoma State because I don't want to get in front of a team that hasn't lost a game.
Yeah, it's a lot of points for a team that hasn't lost, and they of course want it more. Good call on that one. Peter?
I'm not playing points. I just want the money line. I'm going to take Iowa State in this game. Is that all right?
No.
I know. I've never seen a 7-0 team be a 7-point dog before. I mean, I can't recall it, but I think the I think the ride's over for Okie State. They've had a nice run, and I believe it's over. I don't like that 7, but I can't go against Iowa State. I think they're really starting to play ball now like they were supposed to 6 weeks ago.
We're split again, Fat Jack, 2-2. And how about this number? I mean, how do you read it? Is it like, hey, definitively, Iowa State is the better team, or are they messing something up here by laying a touchdown to an undefeated team?
No, Vegas absolutely loves Iowa State here. We've seen this about 5 times this year where unranked teams are favored over ranked teams. And I think to this point they're 3-2 or possibly 4-1. One was close on the unranked team covering against the ranked team. So more times than not when you see this, it was actually 3-2, you're going to see the unranked team get there. That's 66% of the time or whatever it is. OSU, Iowa State, they're polar opposite. When they get down and get behind, they're not going to come back. Their quarterback's horrible, and they become real predictable, and he throws interceptions. But if they can stay ahead of the game and not get behind, which Oklahoma State's not dazzling offensively, that's why this number 7. So look at this thing at halftime. If OSU's down 10 or even you know, they're down a little bit, or excuse me, if Iowa State's down a little bit or down 10, OSU will draw off and win easily. I don't think that'll happen, though. I do think they'll be able to stay ahead of the chains, run the ball effectively enough. Play the under. That's the better play in the game. It's 47.5, but I'll lean toward Iowa State minus the points because Las Vegas likes Iowa State there.
All right, Bengals at Ravens. Ravens are laying 6.5. Jed.
I'm on the Ravens. I really don't believe in the Bengals all that much in spite of their 4-2 record early in the season. I think a lot of that's been schedule driven. Give me the Ravens.
Okay, Curtis?
Ravens got very little from their MVP quarterback and still rolled a good Charger team. I suppose they're ripe for a letdown after a game like that, but I don't see them coming flat for a team just one game behind them in the North. I'll take Baltimore.
Peter?
Oh, 6.5 are a big problem here, and the Bengals are just about the best, the most improved team in the NFL, or one of them. But I got to take the Ravens at home. I hate that 6.5, though.
So this one is perplexing. This is the one where I hold my nose and I take the lesser team because I am assuming that the odds makers know something. Listen, I do want to point out, and this is what keeps me from being much more confident in my Bengals selection, which is where I'm going to go, and that is the fact that the Baltimore Ravens needed a 66-yard field goal to beat the freaking Lions. Okay, this league, and Fat Jack talks about it all the time, you're never as good as you think you are when you're winning, you're never as bad as you think you are when you're losing. You know, the Titans lost to the Jets and then beat the Bills, right? But this team has been living dangerously. They got down to the Colts, needed 2 missed field goals and a missed extra point to get to overtime, and then ultimately beat the Colts. They needed a 66-yard field goal to beat the lowly Lions. They needed a takeaway at the end of the game to beat the Chiefs when the Chiefs had 4 turnovers. I don't think Baltimore is definitively the best team. This will be my last stand on that statement. If they kick Cincinnati's ass, which they might, then I will back off and pay homage to the Baltimore Ravens. But give me the points and give me the Bungles. Fat Jack, how you see it?
Yeah, you get about 1, maybe 2 of these a week, these type of lines, under a touchdown, but not a field goal or 4, where the underdog gets there. But what we've seen lately are some of these teams are getting there that are favored right about a touchdown. The Rams beat the Giants last week by 28 as a 7.5-point favorite. Your Kansas City Chiefs, 6.5-point favorite over the Washington football team. They won 31-13. And there are a couple more also. The Packers bought 5.5 against the Bears. They won by 10. So Vegas been wrong in this spot more times than not. But you'll also get games like Buffalo, similar type situation against Tennessee, favored by 6 or 6.5, and they end up losing straight up. About 1 a week of this type, the underdog's going to get there. I don't think the Bengals are that team, though. I do lean toward Baltimore here. It's a public play. I wouldn't bet it because I don't like lining up with the public. But I do think this is probably one of those games like the ones I just mentioned where you're giving right around a touchdown and they go ahead and get there. But it is very, very close. Guys, what's not close is our record on Sundays. 5-1 again last Sunday. Unbelievably hot in the NFL. And every sport is winning. We are absolutely dominating right now. The bases are 13-2 against the spread in the playoffs. Those are free. And the UFC won again last week. Go to FatJackSports.com. If you're betting the game, every play is posted and documented. You'll see we had App State last night. We're going to win starting tonight. I just sent out football, baseball, and NBA going tonight. Go to FatJackSports.com. $179 through Monday. Less than $100 a week for any package longer than that. And through November, it gets down to about $85 a week. Get signed up today. Start winning betting the games at FatJackSports.com.
Fat Jack, you're the man. Great to have you back stateside. Enjoy your time in Vegas, my friend. Stay hot, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week. See you soon.
All right, you're the man. Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. Everything documented, everything right there on the site. Check it out. Right now, we will take a break. It's your chance to check out some great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. We're going to play Stump the Chumps. All you got to do, ask us a question of sports history. We don't know the answer. We'll give you one back. Get that right. You're going to Jazz. Listen, it's that easy. We'll even help you. We'll hold your hand a little bit. We're friendly guys. Grab a line right now, 913-3810-810. Great Cajun food from Jazz is on the lines. All you got to do is Stump the Chumps. It's coming up next, 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
You guys really suck. You guys really suck.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 W. Webster defines trivia as bits of information that are of little value. Webster never played Stump the Chumps, a Kansas City institution for a quarter century. If you like sports trivia and free stuff, this is your chance. All you got to do is Stump the Chumps. And here they are, Soren Petro, Pete Enoch, and Curtis Siebold.
Got a line open right now. Grab it. 913-3810-810. Grab it if you've got the stones. I don't know that you do. Not everybody does. You know, not everybody has what it takes to Stump the Chumps. If you think you do, come and try. 913-3810-810. Petro, Siebold, Marshall, Enoch. We welcome Todd Lebo. He of the 38.5-point Oklahoma Sooners. Are they going to take it easy on the Jayhawks?
Probably not going to take it easy, but their defense can take it easy on a lot of people. The big playability. I don't think Kansas has a lot of big playability.
Spencer really going to play half the game, you think?
Yeah, if the things go well, he should be playing in the game.
Yeah. Okay.
Oklahoma gives up long plays.
Is he gone now, Todd?
I think he will be gone. I don't think he's going to leave during the year. I don't think he'll
go. No,
I
don't
portal.
Either.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think he'll be there.
It's not. Let's hope not for OU. I mean, why would you?
Yeah, there's
you
no
got a chance to go win a ring, and maybe the kid in front of you gets hurt, and you're the guy
or
again.
Or he's an 18-year-old freshman, and he may have a bad day.
Yeah.
And you may get back
in. Is he
a
good kid? Is he doing any bitching or that you know of?
I don't know.
I've heard Spencer Rattler is a pain in the ass.
I didn't really? Like the looks
yes,
of him.
Yes, I have heard that, yes.
I didn't like the looks of him.
Didn't Fat Jack say it?
As a person.
Fat Jack was one of them.
Yeah, Mark Rogers, when we had him on the drill, said he's a real
In high school, he was on a Netflix series called QB1. He came off as kind of a pain in the ass in the Netflix series. So, yeah.
If you can't look good on Netflix, I mean, come on.
On a series that's about quarterbacks, I mean, you know the cameras are there.
Yeah, give me a break.
We all just believe in Caleb now. It's just whoever's next.
You know, on to the next guy.
On to the next one.
Yeah, looks pretty nice.
And who's the next quarterback coming in 2 years? On to him. Bring him in.
That's right. Yeah. Well, this kid, Caleb's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
For sure.
And go number one this year.
Probably. He's going to get votes.
Even eligible. Still going number one.
He's going to challenge it. Yeah. He's going to go with Claret
this
thing.
He's going to get
votes,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
So let's hope he doesn't go with Claret, Lebo. That's a little rough.
Oh, just draft style. Going to go Claret.
Has anybody from the same team in the same position ever got votes for the Heisman same year?
I don't think Spencer Rattler's going to get votes.
I don't think Rattler's going to get
any
votes.
No, I don't either.
I'm sure there's some running backs.
Has anyone ever been the preseason favorite and somebody else, like a quarterback, where there's not two wideouts, right? You could see where maybe Jalen Waddle was a bigger deal than Devonta Smith.
Right, exactly.
But, I mean, you're talking about a quarterback, one guy, he's the Heisman favorite coming into the year. And the guy replaces him wins it. That's had to have never happened.
That is bizarre.
All right, 913-3810-810. Grab a line right now, 913-3810-810. It's a Stump the Chump Thursday. Great gauge of food at Jazz, 39th and State Line. The original is at 39th and State Line right there by the KU Med Center. Out at the Legends by where the U.S. Women's National Team will be playing. Good spot, good pre-spot for you to go grab some dinner tonight if you're going out to the National Team's game. Go by Jazz. Get you some great Cajun food there. It's what we do. When we go out to a sporting Kansas City game, we usually grab some dinner at Jazz and then over to the match.
You know, Vic was soccer player of the year in high school
he
in
was
the
not.
State of Kentucky. He really, no, no,
bold,
no, I have seen this. I've
you
seen
come in here and lie to us?
Would I lie to you guys?
Yes.
Not to us, but would you lie on the air? Absolutely.
Victor was soccer player of the year in high school.
Good.
Pretty good athlete.
Is he going over to the match?
Well, I'm sure he will. Yeah, he loves it.
My buddy Joe Spiker, Easton Roofing, is going to the match.
Oh, yeah.
He says, we're going to tailgate. I said, great, where are you going to be? He goes, yeah, good question. I'll text you.
Somewhere.
Important detail.
I love it. And, of course, out in Independence, I-70 and 291, that's where you get the best Cajun food, great live music, great people, great local Kansas City company, Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen. We start, we lead off with one of the best. Dick, you're in the program. Stump the Chumps, Dick.
Do I get that lead off today?
Yeah.
Yep.
I've got an easy one for Curtis today.
Okay.
On this date in 2006, it was the first time ever that two rookie pitchers started their Game 1 World Series. Tell me those pictures.
What year was 06. It again, Dick?
06.
2006.
Tigers, Cardinals, and...
Cardinal would have been the kid from St. Louis.
Michael Wacha?
Michael Wacha, right?
He wasn't there in 06.
I don't think Wacha started.
Sure,
that smells like Wainwright style.
It was an Hispanic name.
Oh, Wainwright?
Latin.
Tez?
Senor Wainwright?
You like that one.
Was Scherzer on the Tigers in 06?
Might have been Bonderman.
He's not Latin.
Sure. No, but he was thinking Latin Cardinal.
Was Verlander a rookie in 06?
That sounds about right. Because I went to a rooftop. I went to a Wrigley rooftop, and the Cubs were playing the Tigers, and it was Verlander's rookie year. And that reminds me, my buddy Smitty, love you, buddy, took us up there, and he and Verlander was pitching as a rookie, and that seems about when I would have gone.
Is that when they ask you guys to leave?
It may have been when Doug Stewart laid down to take a nap on the bleachers up there. That was a later one because we went and they were playing the Cardinals, so Doug went with us, and that was the day Daryl Kyle died. We didn't see
that
a game
Saturday afternoon. I remember that.
We were up there on the rooftop, and I'm like, the game ain't starting. Everyone's like, well, what's the deal? I'm like, well, it ain't rain because it's sunny. I mean, this is serious.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It came out. Anyway, I digress. Good story.
I'm going to say Verlander and Martinez.
Verlander and Martinez, Dick.
Well, Verlander is correct, but you'll be surprised to learn that Anthony Reyes beat the Tigers 7-2.
Anthony Reyes. There have been a lot of Reyes with the Cardinals.
King.
How many games did he win?
Stands for King.
What was that, Dick?
How many games did he win through his career?
20?
12?
4.
Not many. I'll give you a comeback.
Okay.
Braves can clinch tonight. Among active pitchers, there are 3 that have pinched in 6 potential clinching games in the postseason. Name any one of the 3.
Active pitchers on all, just to be clear, all 4 teams.
Yeah, in all of baseball.
All of baseball.
Players that are currently active major leaguers. There are 3 guys that have pitched and have started 6 potential clinching games in the postseason.
Okay.
Well, I would say Kershaw would be one, probably. Is that correct?
Is Kershaw?
Kershaw, he is not.
That's your mulligan. Try again, Dick.
One of them has been said already. Yeah, 2 of them may have been said already.
Okay.
And how about
Wainwright?
Nope.
No.
One of them may be pitching on Saturday.
Sure.
Are you sure?
You got to be sure about that.
Sure.
To the max.
Sure.
An old tiger.
Old tiger.
Twice over.
Twice over, yeah.
Tiger in college and in the pros.
To the max.
Was it that Reyes guy from the Cardinals?
No.
We've got to be sure about this.
Max Scherzer.
Okay. Yeah, Scherzer. You nailed that one, Dick. I don't know where you got that one from. But
the other two.
Good job.
The other two are Justin Verlander and Charlie Morton.
He only needed to get one?
He only needed to get one.
Oh,
Well, nice job,
Dick.
That's true.
Well, yeah, I mean.
And if
Dick's a winner. Dick is a winner. He's marked it already, so you can press on.
If the Braves don't clinch tonight, Morton will likely get his 7th on Saturday.
Yeah, there you go. 913-3810-810. Chuck! Stump the Chumps, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Got an NFL question for y'all.
Okay.
1997, the Chiefs took Tony Gonzalez in the first round of the draft, and he went on to have a Hall of Fame career with the Chiefs. in that same draft, there were three other Hall of Famers taken. Name them.
Oof, God.
Matt Woodson is the next year, right?
Your name isn't Chuck, is it? Not. I don't care Chuck, that you're using Chuck, but it's not really Chuck, is it?
It's Charles.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I thought you were someone else, so I thought I recognized the voice there. That
Woodson
was, like,
was the next 98. Year. Yeah, so
97
that's not
would have been Orlando Pace was the year.
He was 96.
Is Keyshawn in the Hall of Fame?
No.
What year was Tony?
97 draft.
97? 97. Keyshawn is not in the Hall of Fame.
Thankfully.
He probably won't.
Three other Hall of Famers in the first round or just in the whole draft?
Two in the first and the third.
Two in the first and one in the third.
Walter Jones that year? No, he's later.
It probably is. Like, was it Orlando Pace or Jonathan Ogden?
Or
why? Well, get off my ass. I don't have the whole offensive tackle year drafted list committed to memory.
You're pretty good at this.
I've got kids. I'm not like Curtis.
What is like Derek Brooks? John Lynch. Are those about that time?
When did we do that draft? You hosed me on Derek Brooks.
That was in 95.
Derek Brooks might be the third rounder, too. Or did he go in the second? Derek Brooks ain't bad. Is it that draft?
I don't know.
Was it 95 or 90?
We were Florida State and Florida played the national championship.
The only draft we drafted in 96 was the door.
Well, yeah, it couldn't have been. So. And this is 97, you said?
He's at 97.
No, Pete and I had already been canned, so it wasn't Derek Brooks.
FSU was coming off a national title game appearance.
We did a mock
Casey
draft.
Weldon.
Yeah. Possible.
And I had Derek. He was my man.
Still pissed today.
You wanted to get him.
He was my guy, and you took him just to be a jerk. He went in the first, too, by the way, now that I think about it.
Yeah, it was late first, wasn't he?
So 97, huh? I got the comebacker, but
that's not Sapp. That's not because he's.
Well, let's try
that.
One of the. You don't think it was Pace? What about Ogden? Or there was a bunch of O tackles in there.
Ogden, that's not bad.
Try Ogden.
We're gonna start with Ogden.
Ogden is not correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, what's the answer?
Orlando Pace was the first pick of the draft.
Here, wait. By the way, can you just give me a second here, Chuck, while I give the bird to everybody in this room?
Chuck's wrong.
Especially me.
It's 96.
Orlando Pace, I said like five times.
Okay, I said it was 96 five times, and I refuse to believe it.
Who else?
You guys also 96. Said Walter Jones. He was another one.
Okay. Walter Jones, okay. We were there, okay.
And then the one you didn't say a third rounder was Jason Taylor of the Dolphins.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so let's go with this. Curtis, you got that draft in front of you?
I do.
Let's make sure I'm right on this. The Kansas City Chiefs traded up to get Tony Gonzalez to like 10 or 11, I think. They traded up because the Dallas Cowboys wanted him. The Cowboys didn't get him, and they settled on a tight end. Who did they end up taking?
He's looking at it.
You're asking who the Cowboys took as a tight end?
They wanted Tony Gonzalez. That's who the Chiefs were trading up in front of. They got word that the Cowboys were going to take Gonzalez, so they jumped in front of him, took Tony Gonzalez.
They grabbed their own Hall of Famer.
No, the Cowboys did not grab a Hall of Famer.
Is there telling me this is not a Hall of Famer?
The Cowboys wanted him. They ended up settling for a different tight end. Who was it?
I actually looked at this draft recently. It's David LaFleur.
There you go. There you go. You're right, Chuck. Hang on.
Well done.
Two things there. One, David LaFleur.
He got drafted in some fantasy league, probably.
He was an LSU guy, and he sucked.
For one year he did.
Number two, tell me, when and as I listen longer, tell me you didn't think that was Billy Bob Moss, what he's calling. When he started with a 97 Chiefs question, I'm like, this is Bob Moss. This is Bill Moss. Didn't that sound like him?
A little bit. But that was Charles, not
that
Chuck.
I know, but then I listened a little more. I'm like, no.
Bill's memory only goes back to 07.
Yeah.
No, Moss is not 97.
It sounded like Bill Moss there for a little bit. So it's like, damn, is Bill coming in here? It
could have been a Jimbo covert
the
question.
The pride of could Pittsburgh, have been. Exactly.
Could have been. George, you're in the program. Stump the Chumps, George.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy. What do you got for us?
It's an old school one, probably for any.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah,
you hate that pressure.
Who was the first manager in Major League history for the Kansas City A's?
Kansas City A's was Lou, or let's see, he was. Oh,
he's gone to his computer, which is a big pen and a folded piece of paper.
He was a Cleveland Indian. He was in the. Oh God, I should know this.
Yeah, you really should.
Oh,
I know.
Shouldn't.
Oh, man.
No one should know.
How do you not know this, Pete?
The first manager of the A's. Come on.
Talk a little bit, man.
So the A's.
The A's.
57. What year was it? 50.
What year they get here?
He was married to an actress. God, what? This is just
55.
Stupid.
In
1955.
55.
Any names pop out in your head?
I remember it well.
No. This is embarrassing. Yeah. This is the worst I've ever done on this show.
Really?
Very worse.
This I think you're absolutely wrong on that.
This is the lowest I've sunk.
You have been worse than this.
We're going to say we're beat.
Just give me his first name or give
me initials. Give me initials. You've won, but give me you've got by
the last
this.
Initials V.
V?
V.
Lou Boudreau.
Lou Boudreau.
Boom.
There you go.
Come on, Pete.
I don't have a baseball. Pete or Curtis, you got a baseball? I got football.
Bring it.
No, my only
focus, Pete.
Okay, he said bring it.
I've got one that the question I asked in the previous hour we didn't answer.
Okay.
How many players have had 2 4-hit games in the same postseason series? Don't need the players, just how many have done it?
How many?
Mm-hmm. 2 4-hit games in the same postseason series.
One.
You know, I might double that if I were you.
Yeah, we know one's
two.
Happened.
Two, you nailed it. You nailed it. Who are they?
Eddie Rosario of the Braves, right in this series right now, NLCS, and Hall of Famer Robin Yount in the 1982.
I can't
World
sink
series.
Any lower. I can't.
No, oh, you do.
That was
fine.
The easiest Rock. Question I've ever been asked in the show,
think
and
I've
I missed
actually
it.
Heard of Lou Boudreau.
You're fine. You're fine.
Even married to an actress. With, damn it, Enoch, you stupid.
Dave, bastards. Stump the chumps, buddy. Go ahead, Dave. Oh, sorry, the button didn't work. Apologize. Hang on, Dave. The button is stuck. There it is. Stump the chumps, Dave.
There we go.
There
hey, got a college football question for you.
Okay.
Two Power Five college football teams have not covered the spread yet this year. Who are they?
The Missouri Tigers.
Tigers.
And is it? It's either Clemson or Kansas, right? It
was Clemson. Didn't cover yet, have they?
Is KU, Clemson, and Missouri. Yeah. Clemson didn't cover against Syracuse, so did they
Clemson,
cover
probably, yeah.
in between?
It must have. No.
Did Kansas cover one?
Yeah, Kansas did cover.
When did they? Who did they cover against?
They
covered. Jed, has Kansas covered yet
covered
this year?
I don't think they have.
Have they?
They've won their first game, but they didn't cover that one, and that was the one that they. I mean, well, where's my picture? Well,
the three schools were KU, MU, and
right,
Clemson, weren't they?
Right.
Well, did MU?
I know MU and Clemson. MU is not covered.
No.
It's definitely MU.
Okay.
And Clemson didn't cover against Syracuse.
But did Clemson play last week? That
Syracuse
yes, was two
on Friday.
Was,
no, that was last Friday, Friday, wasn't it?
Well, it must be them two then. Maybe Kansas got a cover.
Did Kansas cover?
I don't think they have because I picked KU. I think I'm 3-3 on the Jayhawks, and I picked them three games, and then I started going, no, I can't pick this team. And then I'm three wins since then, so I don't think they have.
Didn't they cover in one game, didn't they?
I thought they covered somewhere.
I had them in one game that they covered.
All right, just we're going to be pissed if we're wrong. We're going to say KU and MU.
No, it was Missouri and Clemson.
I told you KU covered.
KU covered again.
Such a bunch of punks.
No, Coastal got them late. I don't know who
they covered. All right, I'll give you this one.
They covered Duke.
Tell me, what's the only division in the National Football League where all four teams have won the Super Bowl? All four in a division.
All four. NFC East.
You are correct. Nice job. Going to Jazz. Well done. JT, quick, stuff the chumps.
Hey, Missouri last year had five players drafted in the NFL draft. When's the last time Kansas had that many drafted?
Oh, Lord.
Never. Probably
1942.
69 or something.
Would they have had like an Aqib Talib? The two D tackles.
They had. No, 69, they didn't have.
What was the year of Bryant?
Riggins.
They had
Gilbert Brown.
Dana Stubblefield, Gilbert Brown. What year was that?
They were 96.
95.
95 season, 96 draft, 94. Maybe.
We'll say 96.
77.
Good
Can't
Lord.
Can't name one.
All right. Two passers under the age of 24 years old throwing for 300 yards in the same game. It just happened, right, between Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence last week. Only one other time has it happened. Who were the quarterbacks? And I will tell you, they're both active, and they're both still under the age. They're still 24 or younger. In other words, it happened last year.
Okay, so with one Patrick Mahomes?
No. That's your clue.
Okay.
One right now is probably considered the front runner for the MVP, and one is considered that Lebo may or may not have somewhat enjoyed, and the Chiefs may have beaten.
Okay, so we got a guy, we got the kid in Arizona.
Yep.
I can't think of his name. And then
Lou Boudreaux,
former Oklahoma quarterback that I'm trying to think of.
Right, so he loves him some Kyler Murray. I'm going to give you that one, but you got to name the other guy. Chiefs beat him this year.
Still very young. You don't realize how young this guy is.
Is it Bake?
They beat him this year. What was the other clue I gave on him? And he's considered, Baker's kind of, no, it's not Baker. Since you asked the question, I'll answer it. That wasn't an answer. Yeah. Now you got to get it.
So now, I know it's not the guy from last week. There's only one other win, and I can't remember who it is. So,
who else did they beat?
I'm trying to remember. Shit.
Sorry.
Hurts, doesn't it?
Join me.
Yeah, it hurts. Jalen Hurts. I'm sorry. All right, last, real quick, let's get OU Rock in here. Quick, Rock, go.
Okay, Muhammad Ali was knocked down four times in his career, with the most famous being Joe Frazier. Name two of the other three.
Well, as I saw, I just watched that damn thing on PBS about this, and I knew
did Jimmy
Rock
Young
would call
knock him down?
With one of these. One of the white dudes knocking down, didn't they?
Chuck Wepner.
Maybe Wepner or
Bayonne Bleeder?
Did Larry Holmes knock him down? I mean, he had to knock him down once in that
fight. No, he retired on a stool, but I don't know that he knocked him down. He beat the hell out of him.
Ken Norton knocked him down one time, maybe.
Yeah, Norton did.
All right, we'll go Ken Norton.
No, Ken Norton did not do it.
Orlando Pace.
It was two white guys and then a brother.
We
Jerry
lost
Corey too, didn't. I know that.
It was
Henry Cooper.
Okay, yeah, British guy.
Wepner,
yeah.
Chuck Wepner when he stepped on his foot, an old boxing trick. And then the first guy was Sonny Banks.
Sonny Banks,
the immortal Sonny Banks. Let's see. Who has the most sacks, active career sacks in the NFL? Active player with the most career sacks. 110.5.
Active. Wow.
He has 4.5 this year. Kind of been out of the news at one point. Was a really big deal.
Oh, he plays for the Cardinals now.
He does not. So I wouldn't guess that guy. I would not guess Chandler Jones. Don't guess him. Or J.J. Watt. Don't guess him either.
Okay. Active. I'll throw Donald.
He loves him some chicken. May even raise them.
Me?
Man. That,
Wade
that
Boggs?
Nope.
That
should give it to you.
Raising some chickens. Okay.
He has his own chicken farm.
Okay, no, that ain't helping me, man.
Lou Boudreaux.
You got nothing?
Harry Kane.
His idol was Derek Thomas.
The Denver Bronco.
Yeah.
I've given you everything but the name.
Played for Texas A&M.
That's correct.
Yeah. I've given you everything but the name. You got to get the name, Rock.
Oh, God. And he hasn't had a good year this year either.
4.5 sacks. I mean, Frank Clark thinks he's all world.
Oh, man. Texas A&M.
I got to go, Rock.
Johnny Manziel.
Three, two, one. Von Miller, my friend. Von Miller. We'll take a break.
The program with Soren Petro.
Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. You deserve the booze they give you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the bold and daring prediction. How many yards for Derrick Henry in this game? What do you want, Curtis?
I'm going to say Vegas number's 129.5. I'll take 135.
Okay.
98
Leibs.
Going under 100.
I like me some Lebo. Peter?
This is too easy. 142.
What's too easy? 142. Jedro?
Let's go with 157.
157.
Your time
what did they give up in the 30. AFC Championship game, Kay? Like 60-something, right?
Yeah. It was under 80 yards.
69?
Put me down for 88 yards. They're gonna hold the big boy under 100 because they're gonna get out to a big lead. They're gonna play from in front. and he's not going to get that many carries. By the way, he's going to maybe fall apart literally this year.
That's fine.
With the quantity of carries he's getting.
He doesn't care.
We'll find out. Blair Kirchhoff joins us next here in the program.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Kyler Murray versus Baker Mayfield was the second matchup ever of number one overall quarterbacks from the same college. What was the first matchup? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.